Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the Dog Pod, your home for fans of the 6-2 University of Washington Huskies tackle football team. We enjoyed a week off, and so did our opponents this week. 6-2, also 3-2 in conference, but number 23 in the first CFP poll, the Beavers of Oregon State. We see them on Friday night. You ready for this game?
I'm ready, BT.
All right, let me give you a quick background. So UW is 67-35-4, and this is the 107th meeting of the programs dating back to 1897. And they wove 9 of the last 10, but last year, yeah, that loss was brutal. 27-24 loss on a last second field goal call. Remember some weird 4th-and-1 calls that Jimmy Lake made. We had a ton of turnovers. The only Oregon State score as they started all their drives in our half of the field. That was a game where it came into it, I think, actually still feeling okay-ish about maybe turning things around in the season. And then, nope, like that, you know, that was a brutal, brutal loss. But again, the only one they have in the last 10 years.
I was trying to forget about it.
Yeah,
I keep
bringing up this crap to you. But one of the biggest things, I think we got to talk about this, but we have to talk about the weather. But I want to hear that in relation to everything else you think, the state of this Husky offense and what they're going to expect against the Beaver defense. 7:30 on ESPN, Friday night, with the Huskies actually still favored by 3.5.
Well, you know, this Oregon State defense actually is pretty darn stout for what they have been in the past. I think Jonathan Smith kind of has these guys rolling a little bit. You know, some notable performances this year. They only gave up 17 points to USC, but of course couldn't pull it out. That was the last week of September. You know, they held Boise State, the 6-2 team in the Mountain West, to 17 points, and Wazoo, the Cougs, to only 10 points. So overall, they're third in the conference in scoring defense, giving up less than 23 points a game, and they're pretty balanced. I mean, they defend the pass pretty well. They're third in the conference in yards allowed per in the pass, and then they're third in rushing yards allowed per game. I will say yards per carry, they're kind of middle of the pack there. I expect that Washington will probably try to attack them on the ground a little bit, but we saw that against Arizona State. We saw it against Cal. You know, they kind of quickly get away from it if it's not working. And so I expect eventually DeBoer and company will be trying to air it out. And I think this offense has played a lot differently at home versus on the road. And even though the conditions will be adverse, I bet both teams will try to get a ground game going. I think the Huskies will eventually go to their bread and butter and try to lob it through the air a little bit. You know, Oregon State, not really a very notable pass rush, I don't think, either. They don't have anybody in the top 20 in the conference in sacks. Washington has 4 in the top 12.
I like their secondary. I think their secondary is one of their strong points of the defense.
That's definitely going to be, I think they're going to match up a lot better with Washington than a lot of teams we've faced. And I mean, let's face it, you know, the Huskies have played probably 5 of the 6 worst teams in the conference to start off the conference season, plus UCLA. And actually, Oregon State's kind of in that same boat. They played USC and Utah, but other than that, it's pretty much been bottom dwelling. So I think we're going to, you know, this is definitely like one of those middle tier games, right? You've got the top 4 in the Pac-12. You got USC, UCLA, Oregon, Utah. And then kind of the Huskies and Beavers kind of jostling for that 5th spot. The CFP committee has them 5th and us 6th, right? But I think this is a game where you've got them at home. You've got a chance to kind of pull away a little bit from the rest of the pack. So I expect that they're going to have a good game plan trying to move the ball quite a bit through the air. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to stick to the ground game early.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a reason that they're ranked in the top 25 of being 6-2, and the only 2 losses have come against very highly ranked USC and Utah, and they stuck with USC. until the very end. And you know, you could say we definitely have a worse loss than they do. But they've won three in a row. 28-27 win at Stanford, 24-10 home win against Wazoo, and then 42-9 home against Stanford. So they're coming in here feeling pretty good about themselves. You talked a little bit about the run, and look, expect heavy run. I mean, not just because the weather, which is, as I'm reading, one thing I saw was like they're going to measure the gallons that's going to fall on the state of Washington and like the hundreds of millions within Friday evening. And the other I saw that there's a chance that a rain shadow actually falls Friday night and it's dry, that it's a wet field and dry during the hours of the game. So you have to prepare for anything. I don't think it really matters with respect to Oregon State. Look at their run versus pass. 44 run, 22 pass versus Colorado. 47 run, 24 pass versus Wazoo. 40 run, 26 pass versus Stanford. They're six in the country in their frequency of run calls relative to pass. So, like, we have to be ready for it. And I think, look, they struck a bit of gold in this freshman Damian Martinez over this win streak. He's gone off for 178 yards and three TDs against Colorado, 111 yards against Wazoo. Super quick acceleration. He can break big plays. And if the weather is averse, if tackling's tough, breaking big plays is going to make or break the game. He's taken most of the reps over from the junior Deshaun Fenwick, who I think everybody thought coming in was going to be the bell cow. He's still a feature back early on, and he's the bruiser. And then, of course, you've got linebacker. They try to put in the hammer Jake Costello on goal lines, right, when they need that as well. I think one of the interesting things about the offense—
If he comes in the game, BT, he's getting the ball.
He's getting the ball. Seriously, he's getting the ball. Get freaking low. And, you know, be low, man. The interesting thing I think this week is, so we'll face the third year freshman, Ben Gulbrandsen, who took over for Chance Nolan. Chance Nolan started the previous 17 games and had an injury. It sounds like kind of a concussion and that beat down they took at Utah. And there's talk. I was listening to, some of the Beaver podcasts this week, and it sounds like Nolan could go this week, but they're going to stick with Ben Gulbrandsen. And so if Ben struggles, and we know John Smith likes to make in-game changes, you could see Chance Nolan at some point. What do we know about Ben Gulbrandsen? He's 6'3", not a runner. So his rush is 14 attempts for -6 yards. He completes 61% of his passes. He's thrown 5 TDs, 3 picks, but he's been sacked a bunch. 6 times already in 3 games. And of course that plays into like the Huskies' hands from what we have. I think we have a physical advantage on the line of scrimmage. You know, you look at most of their guys sub 300 on their line, but they've put up great results. They just play super well together. That injuries, I think, are going to be an issue. I saw a couple interesting things like Luke Musgrave, one of their solid tight ends they love throwing to. They have him listed in the depth chart as a starter, but he might be out this week. And a few others. I mean, it's been, you know, these guys have done so well under the John Smith offense with the transfer portal. The transfer portal is, I mean, just I think is such a boon to a program like Oregon State. Treshawn Henderson, he went to Garfield High in Florida State, and he's playing well. Another injury that might be interesting, Trey Lowe, who a name we all know, still listed as a starter on the depth chart, but we hear he may not play. And then one other one that's kind of interesting, their kicker, Everett Hayes, who sunk us last year, he's listed as day-to-day. One other thing about this defense, I think that is going to be a real issue. Excuse me, their offense is red zone turnovers. It cost them against USC. It's been a big issue. The Huskies would have to capitalize on that. I just think it's going to be super interesting. Like, look at the depth chart for the Huskies. We have the full roster, quote unquote, of who we thought we were going to get game one. You got Asa and Alex Cook at safety, Perryman and Powell at the corners, Dom at the Husky, Tupatal and Cam Bright at linebacker. Edges are Jeremiah Martin. And one thing I've heard, though, Trice listed as a starter, though, I've heard that we may not have Trice this week, which hurts if we don't have him. So you'd see a lot of ZTF and Savelle Smalls. Tackles, Thule and Fatuitele. And then the last one that's not on there, but Eddie Ulofosio, practicing this week. I don't think we're going to see a lot of him if we see him at all. I don't think we'll see much of him. But if we could get him back for Oregon full speed, boy, that would be great. The only other thing I'll say about this weather we talked about, they call it Husky weather. Oh, it's Husky weather. You know, it's rain. But okay, let's look back at the last few years. 35-30 lost against ASU last year in horrible weather conditions. And ASU, we talked about this, and some of this might have been the sort of culture of the team at that time. But ASU wanted that win more than we did. They wanted to be on the field. How about 2019 against Cal? The game that went until 1:30 in the morning. Again, crazy sideways rain and win, and we lost.
So, there was another ASU game, like I want to say the Sark era, where it was just dumping rain and they beat us in Husky Stadium. And, you know, you're right. The results have not always been there.
Even though we like to point to it, right? Yeah. So it's tough. I think with this one, there's a reason the Huskies are favored. They've, and maybe it's just, look, it's a field goal at home, and maybe not as much faith in the quarterback. I just think it's going to be a really interesting game. And at the end of the day, it's going to be who wins the line of scrimmage and who's able to run the ball. So I think if we're forced with the weather conditions to look for big downfield plays against a good secondary with a slippery ball, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I think this plays into Washington's strength on the defensive side, right? We've talked about how leaky that secondary has been. Well, one, they're all back healthy. So that's one. Two, Oregon State's going with a backup quarterback. Of course, that would give me a lot more confidence if, what's his name, Borgay from ASU hadn't shredded us.
Just tortured us. Game.
And Jonathan Smith, like you mentioned, has been run heavy. And that plays right into Washington's strength. They're giving up the fewest yards per carry in the Pac-12 this season. Only 7 touchdowns on the ground. That's best in the conference. And they're only 4 yards out of the best yardage in the second, basically best rush defense in the conference and first by a lot of measures. So that plays into our strength. Also, you know, if you can get this pass rush to rattle a young quarterback, which it couldn't do at ASU, then you can potentially, you know, force some of those turnovers like you're asking about, because I think that's something that we haven't seen from this Husky defense. We're told at the beginning of the season they're going to be opportunistic, we're going to play aggressive, yeah, we'll get burned sometimes, but we're going to, you know, be ball hawks and turn the ball over. Well, against Kent State that happened, but then since mm-hmm. then it's been kind of all downhill. So I think this is a get right game for your defense. You've got some confidence and things to build on with that performance at Cal, where they got a couple of big stops in the second half, the fourth quarter in particular. Even with the refs trying to, you know, blow a stiff gale of wind in your face. So I think there's, you know, defensively, I actually think this is a pretty good matchup for Washington. Offensively, I think that remains to be seen, because, you know, we just haven't seen them really establish a solid running game when they have particularly wanted to. And if they have to turn to the air, you know, you talked about Husky weather. Michael Penix is from Tampa, Florida. So, right. You know, I don't know that we could count on him, you know, being able to sling it around in the rain up here. But with that said, he's having a dynamite year, especially at home. And so, yeah, I think this is going to be a close, good game. I think it's going to be a fun one. And, you know, let's enter it into the history books, BT.
And an absolutely critical one when you talk about wins that you have to get as you want to improve your record. And we'll get into that.
I mean, if you don't win this one and you go down to Eugene and lose, you know, then you're basically playing the Apple Cup for 7 win season.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty rough, especially with where we start.
Yeah,
I guess for an 8 win season. But that's pretty rough considering how we started and how much confidence we had at the beginning of the year. So this is a big swing game, and you've got it at home, coming off a bye, healthy. It should be the opportunity that you're looking for.
And a chance not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I would assume that if you win this, and given some other losses that will happen this week, you're probably a ranked team next week. You're probably, you know, low 20s.
I think that's probably right.
Taking that Oregon State spot. But hey, Husky Nation, look, I'm a little bit worried when I see ticket prices dropping that I think people are seeing the rain and not going to come out. But even in, I have fun out there when it's pouring down rain. Look, put your slickers on, get out there and get loud and support this team. You know, because I think they're going to need that. We need to create some havoc inside Husky Stadium. But let's get this win.
I mean, you can ask for a BT, but I think we can all agree it's not going to be the crowd that we had at Michigan State. The Huskies are going to have to create some of their own energy here.
They absolutely are. I mean, this is a Friday night game, and one of the only Friday night games that I can think of that was loud and packed was, of course, that Stanford game in the 2016 season. And that was a different scenario. Is it
top 15
teams playing and beautiful weather that day. You know, this is going to be a little bit different, but I hope Husky Nation and our 250 solid listeners get out there. There's some other action. So we've got the first one on Friday night, and we'll be finished and just kind of relax on the weekend. But some great Pac-12 games that are happening. There's a couple that I think are going to be real interesting. starting off in the morning, 12:30 on ESPN, and I want to see what you could get these get on these guests the lines. Number 8, 7-1 Oregon. And we could talk about their fate moving forward. They're at Colorado, and guess the line. I mean, how big is this line? What do you think?
I'll say Ducks by 31.
Ooh, 31.5. That's it, man.
Oh, look at that.
I owe you a chicken strip at the tailgate. So, yeah, 31.5, Oregon at CU. That's a huge line. If anything, I don't know about that. I'd still – it's just too big for me. I'm going to take, like, CU 28. I don't know if they could put up that much. It's just too big of a line, but we'll see. And that really should be an absolute ass-kicking. And Oregon is at a point where – I'll just talk about them real quickly. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. To me, they're – let's admit they're playing the best football in the Pac-12, and their ranking in the CFP shows it. I think this is an interesting year. I'll get your take on this. I think this is the two SEC year team. I don't see a way that it doesn't turn out that way, even if, let's say,
TCU's got to run the table, maybe.
I think you have to have two things. TCU would have to run the table. You need the TCU loss or a Clemson loss. And both of those things could happen. But you're going to get Michigan. You're going to get two SEC teams, and you're going to get a Michigan or an Ohio State. And that leaves one slot. And you need a TCU loss and a Clemson loss to get in. Like, that's the only way.
For the Pac-12, yeah, I think that's probably right. But you know what? I think people are kind of sleeping on USC because they lost. But they've got all seed. They have a pretty soft schedule.
Mm-hmm, they sure do.
They can get by UCLA, and they can win the Pac-12 championship game. Whoever that's against, that'll give them two quality wins, and I could see them getting in there.
That same formula works for USC. Is I think they still need a Clemson and a TCU loss because they get in ahead of them.
Maybe
they're not going to put an undefeated TCU or an undefeated Clemson champion ahead of them.
I think that's probably true. But if they're all at one loss, then you get into that classic kind of show horse kind of situation where you got to judge them based on all their results, and it's going to be really difficult. And it's difficult for the Pac-12 in those situations. But this year the conference is a lot better than what it has been, so I'd give them a fighting chance.
Oh, we're going to get into this too. Next one, 12:30 on Pac-12 Networks. Wazoo 3-5 or 4-4 at Stanford. 3-5
at Stanford, and they're both. Wazoo's 4-4.
Wazoo's 4-4. Stanford 3-5.
Okay, I'm going to go with at Stanford.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Cougs by 2.5.
Ooh, you're getting good. Wazoo by 5.
Oh,
all right. A little tighter. So I'm going to assume you're taking the Stanford on that side, and I think that's an interesting one. I like that line at 5. I think it's either 5 or 6.
I think Stanford's one of those teams that, they got off to such a bad start and kind of baked in the cake with everyone's kind of opinion about how bad they were, but they've actually improved as the season's gone on. I mean, they got a pretty good win against Notre Dame, even though that's not maybe a playoff contending team, but I think they're turning it around a little bit. So yeah, I like the Cardinal there.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that they're the best 3-5 team in the pack. But let's get into another 3-5 team. 4:30 on Pac-12 Networks. It's 3-5 Arizona at number 14 and injury riddled Utah.
Oof. Boy, I'm going to go with the Utes by 9.5.
Oh, much bigger. Utah's 17.5.
Oof.
I know. This one's wild. And I mean, with all of the injuries that they have at tight end, at quarterback, it seems pretty big.
Yeah, but I mean, Arizona, their defense has just been like, it's literally one of the only defenses of the Pac-12 that is worse than ours.
It has been porous.
Now, but Delora can put up yards. I think, mm-hmm. I think they're kind of a shootout type of team, and Utah, may not want this game to be a shootout. So I think that'd be interesting. That's 17.5. 17.5 is interesting.
Yeah, that's big. 6:30 on FS1. Another 3-5 team on the road. So ASU 3-5 on the road at number 12, 7-1 UCLA.
Okay, I'm going to go UCLA by, I'm going to stick with the 9.5.
Yeah, 10.5. I think they got this one right. An interesting one. I think ASU has shown in the post-Herm Edwards firing that they're a little bit more plucky than we thought they'd be. But I think that line is right. And I think that, like, UCLA as a team, we'll get into how we think they're going to finish the year. That could be a little bit more scary. And maybe that same math works for them if they can finish out, because UCLA controls its own destiny, win out the rest of their season, and they're playing in the Pac-12 championship as well. The late game, 7:30, and another 3-5 team. So it's Cal at number 9, 7-1 USC. How big is that line for USC?
Boy, I'm going to go 18.5.
18.5, yeah, 21.5 USC. And I think that's probably right about the right spot. You know, Cal really struggling. Is USC as good as they are? They've played so many games that were closer than we think they should be.
Yeah, I think defensively they're not anywhere close to what the Pete Carroll era. I mean, they're basically riding on Caleb Williams' back, who's a Heisman mm-hmm. Trophy contender in most seasons, right? And he could potentially win it. I mean, he's probably the one quarterback in the Pac-12 that I'd clearly want over our guy. And so he's carrying them to a lot of wins that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise been racking up this season, but their defense isn't quite what it was.
So. And they're missing their top two receivers potentially this week. They missed them last week in Williams and Addison, and, you know, didn't need them. And they probably won against Cal, but how close can they keep that? Now, here's an interesting thing. Earlier, you talked about the Pac-12 and how much better I think it is this year than years past. That goes without saying. Let's see how well you would have done in Vegas on total wins for the season. Uh-oh. And I'm going to show you would have done real well if you had just bet every Pac-12 team on the over. Okay, let's start at the top. And I wanted you to tell me how they're going to finish. Let's start at the top. Number 8, Oregon, 7-1. Over-under for them was 9 wins. Okay, so they've got 7. They finished the year at Colorado, home against UW, home against Utah, and then at OSU for the Civil War.
Yeah, I think they have basically the easiest. Well, okay, that's probably taking a step too far. I don't like them in that Utah game. You know what? I'm going to go. I think they finish with 9-3. I think they're a little bit overrated right now. Mm. You could easily go 10-2, but give me 9-3.
Yeah, I think that you're going to get your money on this. I think it's probably a 10-2 that I don't see them finishing out. Utah and Eugene, I think crushed them twice last year and could again, but I think it depends on the health of them. And then, boy, at OSU for the finisher. That's another one that could.
I don't know that we match up that well with them. We'll talk about it next week. Mm-hmm. But in a rivalry game, especially the way DeBoer played them so tough last year with Fresno, and we're going to move the ball in that game. So I think that could be a sneaky tough game for them. They're probably looking past us and at Utah. And then, yeah, that Civil War is going to be tough. I mean, the Beavs really do match up well with the Ducks.
They do, and they've dashed their dreams before. Let's go to the next one. So number 9, USC. They're also – they were 9 wins was the over-under. They're at 7-1 as well. A couple interesting things looking back. I mean, you look at – what was their – their worst loss, of course, their loss to Utah, their only loss. What was their best win? You look back at that, I think, but was it 17-14 over Oregon State? Like, that might have been their best win. So they finished the year, Cal at home, then Colorado at home, at UCLA, and then home versus Notre Dame.
Yeah, I actually think they're going to win all of those, I got to say. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely right. You're definitely right. They're a little bit overrated for based on their actual results. And that Utah loss is an absolute killer because they'd really be looking at a playoff season regardless. But I don't think Notre Dame is going to pose much of a challenge. I really think that UCLA game in the Rose Bowl, and SC is going to have just as many fans there as the Bruins will, if not more. So I like them to win them all.
I'll take one less than that. I think you still get paid, but I think they finish the year. They finish the year 10-2. I think UCLA gets them, but still get paid. Here's the next one. This was an 8.5 win, 7, and now they're at 7-1. Number 12, UCLA. Their biggest win, 42-32 over Utah for sure, right? And their only loss, 45-30 at Oregon. They finish at ASU. We talked about it. Home versus Zona, then USC at home, and at Cal to finish.
Yeah, I mean, you take out that South Alabama game that busted my parlay in week 3, and actually they're pretty much kicking ass at taking names other than that Oregon game. So I actually, you know, I like them to win that 3 of those. Like I said, I think the Trojans will get them on the second to last week of the season, but I like them to get 3 of those and 10 wins. And in the championship game.
I like him at 11-1 and in the championship game beating USC. So next one, this was an interesting one. Utah, though they were another 9-win prediction at 6-2 now. Worst loss, I guess you'd say 4-4 Florida against now 4-4 Florida State was their worst loss.
Yeah.
Florida. And their best win, 43-42 over USC, I think, who they've only beaten twice in their program history. They finish home versus Arizona, home versus Stanford, at Oregon, and at Colorado. How do they finish?
Yeah, I think that, or looking at their schedule, I mean, I think they really have three layups and then that Oregon game. They just played Oregon so tough last year. Mm-hmm. I think the one wild card is that Oregon's got a little bit better quarterback situation they had last year. Mm-hmm. And so containing Bo Nix is going to be tough, I think, for them. But I still think they win that game. I like them to win them all.
I'd say the other side of this, just I think their health issues, and I don't know if Utah's the team it was last year. Of course, I'd love to see them take out Oregon and Eugene, but I think this is a push. I think this one ends up being a nine-win season for them. Here's one that was on the six. So this was on the six line. I think this is interesting. So right now, Oregon State, I mean, we can all say you're probably going to get your money. They're 6-2 now, and they were only supposed to win six games this year. Worst loss, 42-15 at Utah, and their biggest win, I don't know, was it 24-10 at Wazoo? So they finish, of course, at UW, home versus Cal, at ASU, home versus Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to blast through that six. I think they should probably win that Cal game at home. They probably should beat Arizona State on the road. I like them to win two more.
Yeah, I think two, and there's a chance against Oregon if that line is too big.
It's against us this weekend.
There's a chance against us, yeah. There's probably a good chance they win one of those two and end up with three wins and a 9-3, which would be a hell of a season.
I mean, if they ended up with nine wins, BT.
Unreal.
Jonathan Smith, I mean, he's going to be a hot coaching property.
Oh, he completely will. Put up the bronze statue now, you know. I mean,
well, and, you know, he came back to his alma mater, but we've talked about this before, you know. Pac-12 running into financial issues. Somebody comes offering him, you know, one of those 7-8 year deals at $80 million. What are you going to do? I mean, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody really wants him,
Nebraska again. They'll just repeat. Those Nebraska's going to do it one more time. So UW was 7.5, and they're 6-2 now. This one's a little more interesting, as we talked about. You know, and look, I mean, our biggest win, I don't know if you're still going to call it Michigan State. Obviously, that ASU loss is the worst thing that we've seen in a long time. Maybe not a long time, but it was the worst thing for this season. 6-2 UW, we finish home Oregon State, at Oregon, home against Colorado, and then, of course, the Apple Cup at Wazoo. How do the Dogs finish?
Yeah, I mean, I also think that Stanford game, you know, they really stuck it to Stanford. That was, you know, by all, a blowout by another name, I guess. Mm-hmm. I like the Huskies to win three more. I do.
Mm. Wow.
I think that Ducks game in Eugene is always brutal. But I think if we get past this weekend, I always like us in the Apple Cup. I think we go 9-3 if we win this weekend.
I love 9-3, and this is actually the one to me that I think is the base gate. I feel better about the Apple Cup. I mean, Colorado's Colorado. Oregon is the one that I just think they're playing better than anyone else in the conference, but I'd love to see that finish up at 9.
What's tough about Oregon is just how brutal the matchup is for the Huskies in that game. I mean, last year and year before, I think even we matched up better with them, but not to me this year.
Particularly with their strengths that they have this year. Okay, 5-win prediction for now 4-4 Wazoo. Biggest win, obviously, 17-14 at Wisconsin, but then 24-10 at Oregon State. That's probably their worst loss. So are they going to get two more wins? They're at Stanford, home against ASU, home against Zona, and then Apple Cup. So they finish a lot on home.
Man, the Cougs. This has been a really interesting team this year. I mean, they win that game at Wisconsin. You take that away, and really, like, what is this team, right? They're the Wazoo that we always have known to love and mm-hmm. and adore. So that Wisconsin kind of game was the aberration. I actually do think they're probably going to get two more here. Mm-hmm. I think 6-6 is probably pretty likely for them.
And a bowl-bound Cougar team, which is huge for them. This one's interesting. Here's one that already paid off 2.5 wins for Arizona. And they're already at 3-5, but they finish at Utah, home against UCLA, home Wazoo, home ASU.
Yeah, I think that definitely the hype got a little bit out in front of the parade on this one. You know, they started the season hot, but then you look at October. I mean, they've lost three in a row, giving up nearly 50 points in every single one. So That includes us, Oregon, and USC, but it doesn't get any easier with Utah and UCLA. I mean, I like them maybe to win that Wazoo game, maybe at home, but I don't know, man. I'm probably not putting any shekels on the Wildcats from here on out.
But look at the Territorial Cup at home. With the struggles that both the teams have had, I'll give them the coin flip on that. And look, they've already paid you off from 2.5 wins predicted, and they're at 3. I think they probably end up at 4, if not 5. ASU, another one. This one you're probably not getting any money from. They wanted 6 wins on the season. They're at 3-5 now. Home against Cal, at Wazoo, home Oregon State, and then they finish Territorial Cup at Arizona. I don't see.
So I think you said Cal, but I think you meant UCLA.
Thank you, UCLA. That's right, UCLA. Home UCLA
at Wazoo, Oregon State at Arizona. Yeah, I think that Territorial Cup is going to matter for both of these programs. I mean, I think that's kind of their best chance of winning a game this season for both of them.
Yeah, like it is, and they might get to 4, but they're not going to get that 6. Cal, this is another one. Predicted to get 5 wins. They're at 3-5 at USC, at Oregon State, home for the big game against Stanford, and then home UCLA to finish.
Man, it's tough to see there too. I mean, maybe they win the big game. I can't really stick with them on any of these other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I got one more in them. And then
their out-of-conference schedule, they squeaked by some teams. Like UNLV, they won by 6 points. I mean, it's just – this is not a good Cal team.
It's not. And the next one, so crosstown rival, 4 wins predicted. They're 3-5 now. Stanford, home Wazoo, at Utah, at Cal, home against BYU to finish.
Yeah, I actually like them to win a couple here. I think there's a pretty good chance that they make a bowl game. I think the Cougar game this weekend actually will be a really good. If they win that, I think they're probably headed to a bowl. If they don't, they're probably at 5-7.
Yeah, but I think they're going to get those 4 wins, and BYU's been a bit of a dumpster fire after their big win that they had against Baylor, and that could be a nice one for the Pac as well.
We've talked about it during COVID. They played a full season.
That's right,
and they were just like beating up on nobodies, and playing every group of 5 team that would schedule them, right? But then we had a chance to schedule them and they ducked us. You remember this?
That's right. Yep.
And you know, everyone, they got all this hype. Sataki got mentioned for all these big jobs around the country, and basically, you know, we look 2 years later, they're headed to the Big 12 and they suck. I like Stanford in that game. Stanford's going to win that one.
I like him as well, and that probably gets him over 4. And here we got to talk about it. This surprises me, actually. Colorado was actually 3.5 wins. Like, let's just straight up, they're not going to get there. They're at 1-7. Their best win is their only win, 20-13 against Cal. I'm going to say their worst loss was 41-10 at Air Force at home.
Yeah, early in the season before Durrell got fired, it was looking really bad. They've kind of picked it up a little bit here. They obviously won against Cal. They played ASU pretty tight last week. So, yeah, I mean, I think they've definitely improved. I think firing Durrell was the right move, but they are not going to win another game.
No. Yeah. I mean, home or Oregon, at USC, at UW, home versus Utah. So in the end, like, let's just kind of go through here. So Colorado, you're not getting paid if you went over. Stanford, you have a pretty good shot. Cal, we think your best case is to push. ASU, you're losing. Utah, you've already been paid back. Wazoo just needs one more win to push. Twos, you're probably decent there. UW needs 2 wins to get your money back, and we think you're going to get that. Oregon State needs a single win. You're probably getting paid there. Utah, I think, is a tough one at 9. Like, there's a real good chance you're on a push there. UCLA, they only need 2 more wins. You're probably getting paid there. USC only needs 2 more wins as well. And then same thing with Oregon. So it's interesting of, like, you're just looking back at the beginning of the season. What did pundits and what did Vegas think about this conference? And for the most part, your overs are getting paid.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to that other point. I mean, this conference really struggled in 2020. They had some of the worst COVID lockdowns in the country. The Huskies had 2 or 3 games canceled, cost them a chance to go to a bowl game, a conference championship, all of that. And other teams and other programs just played right through it and benefited from that. And the conference, I think, couldn't really afford to have a dumpster fire of a season, but they did. And the hype, the hate has kind of just gone too far. Like, this is not – this is probably the 4th best conference in the country right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you're coming back to see, we're being helped by how much of a mess the Big 12 is. And I think the ACC people are starting to see a lot of the things that we've been talking about for a long time, which is it's Clemson, and then the drop off is significant and severe. Last thing I want to talk about this week. hate to keep talking about realignment, but one more keeps coming. Gonzaga rumors going to the Big 12. What do you say?
Well, yeah, there was a rumor. There was a Canzano piece about the Pac-12 exploring deals with them. And I think here's the thing. The Big 12 is not a good faith actor at this point. They are really trying to destabilize the Pac-12. I mean, Kleof Cove has said as much publicly, which is in itself kind of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But the Big 12, they opened up their TV contract really without benefit to themselves. I mean, they could have taken that to the open market in 2 years. Prices could have gone up. They clearly wanted to get a deal and lock something in so that they could attract other teams such as Gonzaga or potentially Arizona. That's the one school that I've heard is really itching, I think, to get to the Big 12. They're not really succeeding the Pac-12. They're more of a basketball school where that's kind of a better basketball conference. So, but I think in reaction to this, you're seeing the Big 12 leaking rumors about talking to Gonzaga. They're leaking stuff about San Diego State. They're trying to chop off the legs of the Pac-12, basically. That's to right. Say, you don't have anywhere else to go. You're stuck with your 10 schools, right, after UCLA and USC go, and you don't have anyone else to grab. And so, therefore, all we need to do is pick off one or two of you, and our deal is going to be competitive with yours. And I think this is their line of thinking. We just pick off one or two of you and we basically knock your whole conference off and then we can have our pick of the litter. So I think that this is really directed from the Big 12. They're trying to destabilize things. I actually think the Pac-12 should look at – I mean, never, ever, ever, ever would have heard me say this even like 5 years ago. But I think they should look at adding Gonzaga's basketball only or all sports, you know, minus football. But I think it would really give some credence and some respect to the Pac-12, especially on the basketball side of things. And you know, you're losing UCLA, your you know, storied program. You got to replace them with someone, and there's just is the pickings are so slim when it comes to this expansion stuff. So I think you got to look at it from two perspectives. One, the TV deal is still hanging out there. Until that's wrapped up, the rumors are just gonna be flying, because that's right. Exactly where we were this summer when the Big Ten was going through their TV deal, right? It's like all these things are flying through the air, all these rumors are flying. And
is it Amazon? Is it Apple coming in? Like, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and not just that, but the Big Ten just playing all the networks against one another, you know? So there's that. That needs to get settled. But then secondly, the Pac-12 needs to think, they need to kind of, I think, do some serious analysis. What are we going forward? And I think San Diego State makes a lot of sense for expansion because you cannot just concede the Southern California market and the recruiting pipeline. You just cannot concede it. You cannot. You may not have a better – I mean, I'm not saying San Diego State's going to like help you retain all those Southern California recruits. But, I mean, it's better than nothing is what you're looking at in 2 years. So
that's right.
And you don't have to give these teams a full share of the revenue either. Mm-hmm. They can easily give San Diego State a half a share. They can give Gonzaga a basketball-only share. It's not going to really materially financially impact the Pac-12 to look at those options. So I think the Big 12 is trying to take those off the table and further destabilize the Pac-12 with this. And I think that's why we're seeing those rumors fly.
Bunch of sneaky punks. And look, once the UCLA thing becomes final with this Regents decision, which I think we all know how that's going to go. It's going to go. We're going to put a sternly worded letter here as the Board of Regents that says we don't like this. I'm like, okay, great. It's not going to change anything.
I'd love to add some adjectives to it myself, BT. I don't know if you caught Bill Walton on the
Will. Yeah, that was great.
I mean, he went nuclear. Right.
Yeah,
he went
amazing.
He's like trying to rally the troops. Stop this from happening. Contact your local, you know, elected officials. So I'm not, you know, who knows? Is it an outside chance? Sure. But I think every writer who's followed this pretty closely knows it's like it's not zero. It's not zero.
You got to love Bill Walton. I mean, at this point, I mean, he just, if there was any chance that he was going to be brought over to the Big 12 network or some other to do UCLA games in the Big 10, it's over. I mean, he has definitely signed himself.
He can't help himself but call it the Conference of Champions, even as the reputation has slowly swirled around the bottom of the toilet for the last decade. Right. He remembers the 1970s better than anyone, BT, and he'll tell you there's Conference of Champions there.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it was amazing. Good that he took the gloves off. I don't think it's going to change anything. There's nothing that he can really do at this point. But once that thing's all settled and done, let's see how it shakes out.
Well, and also, they end up taking Stanford instead of UCLA. It's like it kind of
– It doesn't matter. Right.
It's not going to matter that much, right? And which is probably the Big Ten's. They're probably looking at that anyway.
Yeah, they got a backup. Well, hey, big game against Oregon State on Friday night. Don't worry about the weather, fans. Let's get out there and cheer these guys on, because I think we talked about this is probably one of the most pivotal. It doesn't have the historic rivalry with Oregon or as the Apple Cup, but I think for this season, going against a team that has the exact same record you do, but it has a top 25 ranking and a chance to take them out at home and put yourself basically in their shoes next week coming into Oregon, we got to get this win.
Got to get it, BT.
All right, go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Woof.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.